Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I was pondering with the Lord about Resurrection Sunday and Good Friday, because we can get so used to it. As humans, it's human nature to just become desensitized to stuff. Like, have you noticed the more you read the news, you're not surprised by anything that happens? Or you're like, okay, you know, another, you know, massive attack, another tragedy here. We get so desensitized. And even when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, and even when it comes to hearing about the cross and the wonderful blood that he shed for us, but not just that, that on the third day he rose again, it can become like, oh yeah, we know that. And so this morning I really feel like the Lord wants to break that desensitization off of us and see this with fresh eyes. So, question to start. Are you a glass half full or glass half empty kind of person?
Half full.
Pastor Levi, half full. That's the right, no, there's no right or wrong answer. You know, there may be naturally positive people in the room, and that's amazing. Yet for some of us, our minds are more inclined to focus on the negative rather than the positive. For example, I'm going to throw you two examples, okay? And you don't need to, it's rhetorical, so you just reflect. You have a great day at work, but on your way back home, you get into a minor dispute with someone. When you think back on your day, are you more likely to remember the negative experience of the dispute than the positive experiences of your day? You receive a performance review at work. The review is mostly positive, but there is one negative comment about your work on a particular project. Do you find yourself dwelling on the negative comment and ignoring all the positive feedback? If you're leaning towards the negative a little bit more, there's actually a term for it. The term for it is negativity bias. And I read that our brains are like Velcro for the negative and like Teflon for the positive. Let me say that again. It's like our brain is like Velcro for the negative, so it sticks. And you have to like, you know, that noise that Velcro makes. I can't imitate that noise. And Teflon, non-stick, for the positive. And you know, in preparing for today, it was funny. I was laughing with a couple of people because in the lead up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, I have been in the book of Revelation. Ooh. And it makes some people feel a certain type of way, doesn't it? There's a certain type of reaction. And I used to feel that way as well. I used to feel a certain type of way about this book. And then I realized the reason why I did was because I'd been taught about this book from a negativity bias lens. This book is actually so beautiful. And it made me weep. It made me feel joy and gratitude and fill my heart with expectation. So this is what I mean by I was taught about the book of Revelation from a negativity lens bias. Okay, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, it speaks about the 144 pure ones who had the Lamb's name, Jesus' name, and his Father's name written on their foreheads. Sound familiar? So this is verse 1. In the same chapter, but in verse 9, it speaks of those who accept the mark of the beast on their forehead or their hand. What was highlighted to me was the latter and not the former. I don't know about you. There was fear perpetuated about this beast. And I don't know about you, but when I read Revelation now, it's actually a book all about the victory of the Lord, over his victory over sin and death. and the enemy and the victory we have in him. So it begs the question, what do we focus on and why? You know, at the center of Holy Week stands the cross and an empty tomb. It's the center of our faith as believers in Jesus. It's not merely symbolism. It is not merely symbolism. It's the truth and the good news that we can stand on and count on. But when life is difficult, busy, or overwhelming, it can be difficult to remember the significance of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and let it shape our perspective. How do we stand as overcomers when we feel defeated by life and our circumstances? When we face the toughest of life events, how do we resist the negativity bias? How do we live in the reality of the resurrection and allow it to shape our perspective, the way we think and live? So how do we do this? Well, we're going to look in 1 Corinthians 15. This is our chapter for today. And I'm not going to be able to go in a lot of detail. It is a long chapter. So please, in your free time, I encourage you, have a read of this chapter, this passage of Scripture. But verse 15:1, it starts with, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand." You know, we need to be reminded. That's the first, "Now I would remind you." We need to be reminded because, as I said at the beginning, we so easily forget, don't we? This morning, this is our reminder of the gospel that we have received and the gospel in which we stand. And, you know, when you read this, it says two things. It states that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, needs to be received first, and two, we must stand on it. Is it of any good otherwise? So you want to know what the gospel is and what we receive and stand in? In verse 3, Christ died for our sins. Verse 4, he was buried. He was crucified, he was tortured, and he was buried. And verse 4, he was raised on the third day. This is the basis of our faith, the gospel. Now, it was interesting, in the Corinthian church at the time, there was doubts that if Jesus had resurrected. And so Paul was providing the evidence of the certainty of Jesus' resurrection in this passage of Scripture. So we're going to read from verses 12 to 19. It says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." That's a mouthful, isn't it? The truth is that the resurrection of Jesus is one of the essential doctrines of our Christian faith, and it's essential that we stand on it. Paul is basically saying, as Martin Luther once said, if the resurrection is no longer counts, then everything else loses its value and validity. If the resurrection no longer counts, or we do not stand on it, everything else loses its value and its validity. Now, we know that this is not the case. In fact, verse 20 says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, but also in Christ shall all be made alive. Isn't this good news this morning? Come on, it's good news. Jesus is the reason we can enter into resurrection. He made a way for us. So this is the first fruits in this sense. He is the first fruits in this sense. He has opened the door for us to walk through. This is massive. This is the biggest implication for you and I as believers of Jesus. We have inherited victory. We are co-heirs with Christ. And this is a thing, we did nothing to deserve it. But he bestows this honor on us, calling us his sons and his daughters. That is something to celebrate today and every day, don't you think? Come on. You know, I feel that sometimes this is a difficult thing to understand because all we know is this physical life. And all we can see is our eye level. That's all we have. Being present with Jesus on this Good Friday, on Resurrection Sunday, gives us a necessary dose of the reality of the believer and a bird's eye view. You know how people say, oh, that person needs a reality check. This is our reality check this morning. Come on, somebody. This is the reality check for the believers. That all we see with our human eyes is not all there is to see. Do you see what I see? That the grave is empty. Do you see it? We sang it this morning. Do you see what I see? Because all that we see with our human eyes, that's not all there is to see. Through Adam came death through sin into the world. We know the story, Adam and Eve. And through the last Adam, Jesus, we are all made alive. In verses 45 to 49, it says, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. The first man, Adam, was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. See, we live in these two realities. We live in the reality of dust, sin, flesh. But we also bear the image of the man of heaven, spirit. And here we see the tension for believers between the flesh and the spirit. It's ongoing. You can read Paul's journey through it. You know, Charles Spurgeon wrote this, Satan makes sin seem pleasurable, but the cross reveals its bitterness. If Jesus died because of sin, men begin to see that the sin must be a murderous thing. Spurgeon's quote again specifies that it's a matter of our focus and our revelation of Jesus and the cross. We start to see everything through the lens and the filter of the cross and the love of Jesus. And we start to see sin that way, even though it's a reality. It's one of the realities that we live in, just being in this world, being human. Are you with me? It further states in verses 27 and 28, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. The resurrection of Jesus is actually the beginning of the end for sin and death. And under his feet means under his feet. It means total conquest. And the same is described in Revelation 20, verses 7 to 10, in which Jesus will crush and forever put all enemies under his feet. Total conquest. Do we understand the implications of this? Let's just reflect a little bit here. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. We don't serve like Levi was saying this morning in our volunteer briefing, an idol, a man-made idol, who has ears made out of wood and gold. We follow the one where everything is under his feet. I stated the tension between the flesh and the spirit, as it said earlier. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58, it expands on this and the implications of the resurrection of Jesus. It says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality. Resurrection for the believer means that we are living with a heavenly perspective while still on earth. It's the state of living in the future, but still being present in the here and now. You know, Tim Keller once said, while other worldviews lead us to sit in the midst of life's joys, foreseeing the coming sorrows, Christianity empowers its people to sit in the midst of this world's sorrows, tasting the coming joy. While we're in this world, there is the perishable. There are things such as disease, injury, trauma, and aging that our earthly bodies are susceptible to. But as those who have received the gospel and stand on it, in a single moment, Jesus will gather his people, both dead and on earth, to himself, for resurrection raised imperishable. We'll put on immortality because of Jesus. And it is only made possible because he was raised on the third day. This is the destiny of the follower of Jesus, eternal life. It is the hope in which we stand in the present for the future. You know, in understanding resurrection, it's accepting the mystery that comes with it. Will we fully understand? Will we fully fathom? No. You know, on Good Friday, my husband and my two kids, Lexi and Judah, we watched The Chosen. Who's watched The Chosen? It's beautiful, right? We watched the episode of when Lazarus was raised from the dead. And there's a scene where Mary Magdalene, everyone's left and is celebrating. And she comes back to the empty tomb. No one's there anymore. And she looks at the grave clothes. And she's just crying. I think sometimes we're too much like everyone. We're like, woo, and we go off celebrating. But she's like, whoa, what just happened? And she walks back and she takes it in. How quick are we to move on? And I feel the more we hear this, the easier it is to just go, oh yeah, oh that was awesome. That was such a fun Resurrection Sunday and the kids' choir was awesome. We had baptism, awesome. But do we really understand and let it sink in what today actually means for us? Do we? Because I am guilty of it at times, taking this for granted. And I think Jesus is like, hey, it's okay. Because you know what? How could we understand the enormity of this? One theologian put it this way: a resurrected body is not a resuscitated corpse. It is a new order of life that will never die again. Paul, understanding that death has been swallowed up in victory, he can stand and mock death, as death has no power over Jesus and those who were with Jesus. You know, when we were here on Good Friday and we read through the scriptures, the Bible doesn't mention the details about the crucifixion and everything that he endured. But you can read the commentaries about what crucifixion was. It is not like the art, some of the art portrays. I went to the National Gallery of Victoria yesterday with my daughter, and the art portrays Jesus with just a little slit and a little bit of blood. That's not how it was. He was beaten and bruised and broken. And mocked. He was mocked. And so Paul's saying, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul could look at death and say, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Just as people mocked Jesus as he was broken and beaten and bleeding. We have this opportunity that Jesus has given us to look death in the face and mock it because he was mocked. So this morning, let it sink in. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? We know death is defeated this morning. We have an eternal, resurrected destiny with Jesus Christ. We should stand firm and unshakable all the more for him. Not wavering, but continually taking a stand. Actually, it is our understanding and our revelation of the cross and the resurrection that spurs us on to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, reminding us it is not in vain. So what does the resurrection of Jesus mean to you? How does it change your perspective, the way you think and the way you live? You know, maybe you're going through a really hard time at the moment and all you see is what's in front of you. You can't, you're trying, but you don't have a bird's eye view. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. You're going through trials and tribulation and sickness. Today is an invitation to a change in our perspective. Maybe we do live in light of the power of the resurrection. Awesome. But maybe we haven't thought about this since last Easter. Wherever we are, let us endeavor to live from the reality of the resurrection of Jesus and the implications it has for us. Let not the cross and the resurrection be those things that are like Teflon, non-stick in our minds. Let it be those things that are like Velcro in our minds, that we do not easily forget, that we do not easily become desensitized. We're going to finish where we began in the book of Revelation and what it is said of the Lamb of God, the resurrected, the victorious one, and about the victory we have in him. So I want you to close your eyes this morning. And I want you to try your best to be present. I know it's hard if you have little ones in the room, or like I said, you're going through a difficult time. But the Lord, he's wanting to meet us today. I believe he's wanting to bring breakthrough today. Revelations 5:9-10. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation 12:10-11. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers have been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death." They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. Our salvation, we sang about it this morning, bought by the precious blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This is why it's important for us to remember how 1 Corinthians 15 starts. "I remind you of the gospel you have received and you stand on." This is how we overcome. And Revelations chapter 1:13-18. "And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades.'" The Lamb has overcome. The Lamb has overcome. Come on. The Lamb has overcome. It is not just noise. The Lamb has overcome. what will our focus be on this morning? Whatever we might be facing, whatever life might look like, I hope we walk out of this service with a new revelation saying, His victory means my victory. You know, in the last couple of months, there's just been this song, and in particular, a bit of a song that's been playing over my head, especially when I have started to feel defeated. And I've declared the words of this song. My family can tell you, I've been playing it on repeat over and over again. And my head has lifted up and my perspective has been enlarged. Because it's not just a song. It's actually a declaration. It's a declaration. So this morning, the worship team's going to lead us in this song. And I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. But come on, let it sink in as we sing this song. Be present with the Lord in every word that comes out of your mouth. And let it be like a banner over you, over your marriage, over your children, over your family, over your health, over this community, over this world. Let it be a banner. Holy Spirit, come. Let us worship this morning.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.